The views and opinions expressed by individuals on the following program do not necessarily reflect those of the network, Guys Guy Radio, and its platforms.
It's Guys Guy Radio. Here's your host, Robert Manny.
Welcome to Guys Guys Radio. This is your host, Robert Manny, welcoming you to the show where men and women can be at their best and everyone wins. Guys Guys Radio. We're here to inform you, inspire you, empower you, and get you to think, feel, and who knows, maybe even act by virtue of the journeys, stories, experiences, and insights of the guests I bring you each and every week to the show. And this week, once again, is no exception. Today, we're going to talk about the soulmate secret. We're going to talk about how to find your soulmate. We're going to talk about love, manifesting the love of your life using the law of attraction with one of the world's foremost experts in relationships, dating, and love, Ariel Ford, best-selling author. And the book we're going to talk about today primarily is The Soulmate Secret, which is her seminal book. And she's also got a new one, which is a novel called The Love Thief. But Ariel's written a bunch of books, and she's very big in the publishing industry, and she's super nice and very clear in her point of view. And I found reading this book that I agreed with almost everything in it. In terms of the fact that, for instance, you know, you can't, once you do the work on yourself to get ready to put yourself out there, you got to put yourself out there. You can't wait around for things to happen. I mean, it's just like, you know, for a job or something, you have to, you don't want to put pressure on yourself, and you don't want to appear anxious, but you have to do something. You have to know how to manage the system. You have to know how to listen. You have to know how to be present. So when it comes to love and new love, and here we are in 2024, early 2024, and so many people have on their resolution list to find a partner, because there's so many single folks out there, some by choice, others not by choice, that the clock starts ticking. Hey, end of January, we're heading into February, whatever, nothing's happened yet. Well, the first thing we need to do, I think, is kind of take stock of ourselves, determine who we are, what we have to offer, and then get prepared to put ourselves out there. And there's a lot of things we need to do to kind of get ready from a mental standpoint, from an energetic standpoint, from a spiritual standpoint, before we just throw ourselves into some online dating thing, because it can be overwhelming for a lot of people. And it's sometimes it's hard to read the tea leaves there, because there's so much deception and dishonesty, although there's so many successful relationships that have come out of online dating, including my own. My wife and I met on Match.com. She winked at me, and here we are 13 years later. But I think to get started, if you're looking for a new relationship, you gotta be aware, you have to be present, you have to believe in yourself, you have to be ready, you have to start having a perspective that it's already happened, be the state of gratitude, don't be filled with anxiety, be careful when you have, you know, you make your lists of gotta haves, that there are not too many of them. And then you give people a fair shot, too. When you start to meet new people, it's very easy to say, that didn't work, next, I don't have enough time. Sometimes you may find that the person you've just met takes a little while to really learn about them and connect with them. Now, sometimes, other times, it's like, this doesn't feel right, or I'm just not attracted. And that's cool. That's very understandable. But I think we got to give people a benefit of the doubt when we can. I think we have to be careful not to drag all our baggage going forward. I think when we're in a position of being in the market, we can't beat ourselves up and look at the clock all the time. We have to really enjoy that time that we have on our own and use that time to create the very best version of ourselves. So Guys Guys Radio, my special guest is one of the top love experts and relationship experts in the world, and a terrific writer, Ariel Ford.
The station that makes you feel good.
UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
It's Guys Guy Radio.
Okay, Guys Guys Radio. It is the interview portion of our show. Welcome everybody on YouTube and Rumble to the show. Today, our special guest is Ariel Ford, one of the most I'm going to start again. Sorry. Okay. All right. The interview portion of Guys Guys Radio, our special guest is Ariel Ford. We're going to talk about finding love, keeping love, soulmates, and so much more. Ariel is a love and relationship expert, leading personality in the personal growth and contemporary spirituality movement. For the past 25 years, Ariel has been living, teaching, and promoting consciousness across media platforms. Her mission is to help people find love, keep love, and be love. She's a gifted writer and author of 11 books, including the worldwide bestseller, The Soulmate. We're going to talk about soulmates predominantly today, and also her new book, The Love Thief. And also, she's author of Turn Your Mate Into Your Soulmate, devoted to exploring a simple, fun, and effective way to attain groundbreaking shifts in creating and embracing the beauty and perfection in yourself and your soulmate. And she's been called the Cupid of consciousness and the fairy godmother of love. And she knows everybody in the spiritual community. She's right down the road from me in La Jolla, California. I'm up here in Carlsbad. Welcome to the show, Ariel Ford. I'm so proud and pleased and honored that you're with us today.
Thank you, Robert. It's great to meet you.
So I guess the number one thing on everybody's mind is soulmates. You know, what is a soulmate? Let me give you a little background. I mean, you watch the movie Jerry Maguire and it's like, you complete me. And a lot of people wrestle with the term soulmate as another part of themselves. It's completing who they are. They look for that outside, owning themselves through somebody else. What is a soulmate and why is it so important?
Well, I believe that a soulmate is first and foremost somebody you can completely be yourself with, somebody with whom you share unconditional love. And when you look into their eyes, you have the experience of being home. And if you accept that definition, then the truth is all of us already have many soulmates, people we can be ourselves with, people that we have unconditional love with, people we look into their eyes, they feel like home. And it's our parents and our kids and our siblings and our best friends and our cats and our dogs and our coworkers. So if you're single and you're looking for a romantic soulmate, stop looking. The truth is you already have many, many soulmates. And the fastest way to bring in a romantic soulmate is to begin every day by acknowledging how much love you already have, how many soulmates you already have. Because when our attention is focused and is in a place of gratitude for what we have, we get more of it. But when our attention is focused on what's missing, all the universe can give us is more of the experience of missing.
Oh, that's so much there and it makes so much sense. Why do you think so many people have a hard time kind of finding love and also finding their soulmate, if you will?
Well, there's a lot in there. So first, let's talk about what love is. Most people have no idea what love is. They think that love is a feeling. I know I love you because it feels like there's champagne bubbles running through my veins. I have butterflies in my stomach. I'm thinking about you obsessively. This is not what love is. This is your brain on drugs. When we're in the state that we call being in love, then our brains are just cascading with dopamine and adrenaline and oxytocin and serotonin. And it's nature's greatest trick to get us to procreate, to keep the species going. But it has nothing to do with love. Because if it did, why didn't it work? We've all been in love, and then it seems to disappear. What happened? Well, we had this incredible drug high experience with a stranger. And then we thought it meant something. We thought it meant that, oh my God, we're meant to be together, as opposed to, let's see if we share connection and chemistry and communication and a shared vision for the future. And we're both mature adults and we know how to be there for each other. So love is not a feeling. However, there are a lot of good feelings that come with love. But as anybody who's ever been married and in love at the beginning knows, those feelings come and go. So if you're going to stay with somebody based on a feeling, you're kind of doomed right from the start. Because here's what love is. Love is a behavior. Love is a choice. Love is a decision. Love is an act. Love is a way of being. And you can be with somebody and love somebody, and the feelings will come and go, and that's normal. But if you're always looking to your feelings, it's not going to work. Now, why is this? According to Harville Hendricks, who Oprah calls the marriage whisperer and is one of the top leading marriage experts in the world, he believes that true soulmate relationship requires a couple of things. The first of which is taking sacred vows, not just living with somebody, but taking sacred vows and creating a safe container in which to have this relationship. And when you do that, all your childhood wounds automatically come up for healing because you're now in this sacred container. And as anybody who's done deep core issue work knows, those don't feel good and they're not fun. But that's part of the problem. He says the deepest spiritual path is the one of soulmate relationship.
Amazing, amazing, amazing. So what was your story? How did you discover the concept of the and your definition of the soulmate, and what happened in your life? Because you were in different relationships, and you met your husband, I believe Brian, and you've been together and happy in La Jolla, and it all kind of worked out according to the laws of manifestation and the, you know, your insights on being a soulmate, etc.
Well, and it didn't start there. So I was a first-time bride at 44. I had had a long history of bad relationships. And I woke up one morning when I was 43, and I still had my eyes closed. I was still in bed, and I was feeling around the bed looking for my 25-pound cat. And all I could find was this empty expanse of bed. And I sort of had this epiphany, which was, oh my God, I forgot to get married. And I started thinking about, how did I get to be 43 and not married? I was living in Beverly Hills. I had a very successful business. I was in incredible fit shape. I had everything. I had the sports car and the travel and the friends and the lifestyle. And I realized when I went back to look at all my relationships, I had the same complaint about every man that I had been with, which is they had no time for me. I thought that what I wanted and needed was a captain of the universe. I wanted the male version of me, hyper ambitious, you know, go, 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 do all the same things. I had no idea what a relationship was about. And when I sort of did this post-mortem on my relationship history, I saw that what I needed more than anything was to be in a relationship where I could be the center of somebody's universe. And guys who are captain of the universe don't need anybody and have no time because they're right. Go, 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 go.
Right.
And when I first sort of made this discovery for myself, I was really embarrassed because to me it sounded so needy. Oh, I need to be the center of somebody's universe. But I realized that I wanted a lot of attention, you know, and guys that are running major corporations don't have time. Now, I lucked out and I found a reformed captain of the universe who had come to the decision that that wasn't making him happy. And he was had a high emotional IQ, EQ, you know, and he was sort of an alpha who turned into a beta. But that's what I needed. I'm a very alpha girl, you know. So I discovered all of this out of necessity. And once I used all my manifestation tools and figured out exactly what I wanted and manifested my soulmate, I planned to go back to my life, you know, in the publishing industry, not necessarily become a love expert. But what happened was every woman over 40 that I came across kept saying, well, how do I get a Brian? So I would explain my process to them and then it would work. And eventually it turned into a book and then it turned into a career and it just morphed. It just totally morphed into this, but it wasn't my plan.
Well, it turned out really well. So congratulations. And you come up with a lot of, I love the book because it's, and I read the whole thing. It's not just about love and it's not just about relationships. It's really about everything in life. And you can apply the tools that are in this book to any type of situation, whether you're a woman or a man. And it's very helpful and you tap into a lot of things. Now, you came up with the term feelingizations, and that's a good check-in point for people along the way when they're going through their list and going through what they need, et cetera. Talk to us about what a feelingization is and the importance of them.
Yeah. So the book we're talking about is The Soulmate Secret. And I discovered along the way, when I first started understanding about that I could have some control over my life by having clarity on what I wanted to have, and then doing these steps that are outlined in The Soulmate Secret to manifest things, I realized that visualizations don't work. Why don't they work? Because they're pretty pictures in your head. So let's say you want a brand new blue BMW convertible, and you keep looking at the pretty pictures in your head, and you see yourself driving down the 5 with the top down and the wood steering wheel, and you can smell the leather seats, and you're having this visual experience, but the emotional experience is, I can't afford it. I'll never have it. I don't deserve it. Who do you think you are to want such an expensive car? So that cancels it out. So a feelingization is a process that I invented for myself using a lot of other people's tools, where you drop from your head to your heart and you focus on what will it feel like to be sitting in that car, to be deserving of that, or whatever it is that you want, whether it's love or a car or a new career or whatever. And it's a feeling sensation. And at that point, I had learned the HeartMath technique. And HeartMath is a research and development place that's been around for 40 years that has proven the heart has its own intelligence. Mm-hmm. And when you drop into your heart and you re-experience feelings of love, appreciation, or gratitude, then your heart energy shifts and changes into what can be measured and is called heart coherence. So a feelingization is a combination of a lot of different stuff that I started using for myself. Some people might call it a guided meditation, but it is not meditation because it is active. So I call it a feelingization.
Fantastic. My special guest on Guys Guys Radio, the amazing Ariel Ford. We're talking about her quintessential book, The Soulmate Secret, and a lot more. Let me tell you a little bit about my story, because there is some similarities. I got married an older guy, if you will. I was happily single in New York City, working in the ad agency business, working on a lot of very world-renowned distilled spirits. I was out there. I was having fun. And I came to a point where I realized, is this all there is? I kind of got the whole online dating thing down to a science. And then I realized I had an epiphany, which was, I'm not making room in my heart for somebody else. And when that happened, I went home for Thanksgiving and I told my mom, I'm getting married next year. I mean, at this point, my family never even asked me anymore. I was like, you're the bachelor. And she said, oh, really? Who are you getting married to? I said, I don't know, but I know it's going to happen. A year later, I was engaged to the day. And I've been happily married for over a decade. And I attributed to one of the most important things is that I made space for somebody else in my heart. Talk to us about that, because I read that in the book also.
Yeah, you know, one of the things I related to is that when people get divorced, they think, oh, I made a mistake. He or she wasn't my soulmate. And then they suffer all this pain because on some level, they probably still love the person, but they're trying not to love them. You know, they think, oh, we're getting divorced. It was a mistake. I shouldn't love them. But the truth is, our hearts are big enough and elastic enough to love lots and lots of people. So I believe that many soulmate relationships come with an expiration date. And it doesn't mean that they're not still your soulmate. It's just that whatever karma you decided to have together, whether it was to have kids, to spend 6 months or 16 years together, it's come to an end and you have a choice. You can choose to figure out how to make it work, or you can choose to love each other, let each other go, remain friends, and go on to the next relationship. So our hearts are very elastic, just like our brains are very elastic. There's no shortage of love in the world, and there's no reason to stop loving anybody. Even if they've betrayed you and they've abused you, you can love them from a distance. You can certainly ban them from your life and not have anything to do with them, but you can still wish them well, because at the end of the day, the greatest force in the universe is love. So why not be love?
I think that's beautifully stated. Thank you, Ariel. And I think that happens so often, where a relationship comes to an end and
sometimes the partners or a partner thinks there was a failure. I had an 8-year relationship. When it ended, my partner thought it was a failure. I was like, thank you. It was great. And it didn't, you know, we're going to go our separate ways, but why not relish the time we had together and the good things? And do you find that that's too often the case where people think that the end of a relationship is a failure? And how can they get over that? Do they have to do the feelingization, get into that heart space for that?
Because no, so many people get stuck. They need couples therapy is what it is, you know? because the truth is human beings annoy each other.
That's true.
Right? And you have to, you know, this is why I wrote my book, Wabi Sabi Love. So Wabi Sabi is this ancient Japanese aesthetic that seeks to find beauty and perfection in imperfection. And we all know that we're imperfect, but we sometimes forget that everybody else is too. And we don't give them a lot of space just to be who they are, which is why I say you need to be able to be with somebody who accepts you, warts and all, and you accept them, warts and all, knowing that we've been raised differently. You know, there's a guy at the University of Washington named Dr. John Gottman, who is the other world's leading marriage expert. And Gottman says, after 50 years of research, that every single relationship, every single one, has at least 10 irreconcilable differences. These are things on which you're never, ever going to agree. And they're as simple as, one's a spender, one's a saver. One wants it hot, one wants it cold. One's on time, the other one's always late. One's a clean freak, the other one's a messy slob. Opposites attract, right? So initially we may find some of these things, you know, adorable, and then they get to bother us, and then we think we have to dump them in order to survive. And you don't, if you understand, you're never really going to change anybody. But what you can do is love and respect them and find creative solutions.
How important do you think it is, Ariel, that both partners develop their own lives and then bring what they learn into the relationship to enhance the relationship?
I don't know. That's not anything I've ever really thought about. I mean, for me, the place I stand is, do you want to have a significant other? Do mm-hmm. you want your safe place to land? Do you want somebody to be a witness to your life? You know, everybody's bringing their stuff, good, bad, and ugly, to the relationship. But I don't, you know, for men, it's more important that they've achieved a level of stability and success so they can have self-respect and be respected by others. You know, for women, they want the same things, but it's not so much a requirement. And that's changing now. There's so much fluidity in the space that what I learned and believed to be true 5 years ago, I've changed on all those beliefs, and that's a whole separate conversation. But really, what I do know is that nobody is out there to complete you. I mean, that was a great line in Jerry Maguire, mm-hmm. but it's total nonsense. I believe that we're all personally responsible for our own happiness. And then the happiness we share with lovers and friends is icing on the cake. But your husband or your wife is not responsible for your happiness. And if they think they are, they need to go to a CODA, a codependent anonymous meeting, and work on their stuff, right? You can support your partner, you can love your partner, and you're there to respect your partner. And when things get rough, this is why God created coaches and therapists. Use them, right? Because unless your parents had the perfect marriage and they modeled mature adult behavior for you, chances are you are clueless how to be that loving and that respectful when it's necessary.
You know, it's interesting. A lot of people, I think, they get hung up, and you mentioned this in your book, they have their list, and the list can grow longer and longer and longer, and often it's physical attributes, and they can get very fine-tuned. You mentioned somebody, one young lady had to have a partner with a 28-inch waist, I think, or 32, whatever, yeah. Pretty small waist yeah. for a guy. And it becomes difficult, and to me, the most important things, you can have a list, but it should be value-based, because how often is it that we have a type in mind and we end up with a partner that doesn't physically actually look exactly like what our, you know, perfect partner would be in our heads, if you will. And then as we spend more time with them, their beauty unfolds. Talk to us about that notion.
Well, you know, that's just, you know, immature fantasy. You know, I want George Clooney, or I want Brad Pitt or whoever the hot guy is these days. You know, the truth is it's all about shared values. You know, and these days you have to be really specific about it because we're so polarized. You know, if I'm a bleeding heart liberal and, you know, you're a Trumper and watch Fox News, right, it's almost impossible to imagine that we can be happy together because our opinions are so diverse. You know, if I'm a total vegan, anti-vaxxer, QAnon, down that rabbit hole, and you're a scientist, right? So you have to find somebody that you have these shared values with. And what they look like, you have to be able to find them attractive. And first glance doesn't do it. You know, I used to know this woman who thought, oh, you know, I'm very, very intuitive. And the moment I see him, I'll know. It's like, no, you won't. Absolutely, you won't. I know plenty of long, happily married soulmate couples, and none of them experience love at first sight. And for most women, attraction doesn't even really begin until the fifth date. And women don't want to hear that, but it's, you're not going to know, because women fall in love in between their ears. And men are very visual. I have met men that have experienced love at first sight. They just knew and they were right. I have never met a woman who had that same experience. Like even when I met Brian, on the day that we met, I had clues that we were going to be together. I heard voices in my head. And he proposed 3 weeks later. And I said yes on one condition, which was we had to wait at least a year so I could know who I was marrying, because I knew I didn't know him. And here I was in my mid-40s, you know, and I was like, I didn't want to make a mistake. You know, he appeared to be, you know, dream come true, but I needed to see him for at least 12 months and experience, you know, is he of the level of integrity that he appears to be, you know, which thank God he is. 26 years later, he gets better all the time. But so that's why I'm getting back to, love is not a feeling. You know, you're about to make the biggest choice of your life, the biggest decision. You don't want to rush it. And you want to give people chances, you know, like just because they say something stupid, you know, ask a clarifying question. Well, you just said A, B, and C. Is that what you meant? And they're like, oh no, God, no, I can't believe you think that's what I meant, right? As opposed to, you know, oh no, I can't see her again, or I can't see him again because he's a bigot or a racist or, you know, whatever.
And sometimes these things take time to uncover, but so you really need to take the time. One of the things you mentioned in the book, Ariel, that I also connect with is you have to really work on yourself first and have a space to do the work with yourself. You mentioned a lot of spiritual things, smudging and feng shui and vision boards and a lot of things that maybe guys don't do too much, but women more so. But these are tools that are important and daily practices also to give you a clarity of mind and be able to connect with your heart center, because so much of how we live in our society is based on the head.
Yeah. And I have to say, for the male clients I've had that have done the vision board, every single one of them turned their vision board into the wallpaper on their laptop and their phone, mm-hmm, and manifested what was on that board. Because it's just a point of focus. It's not that it has any magical qualities. It's just that every time you look at it, it's just another message to the universe. Oh, I'm so happy and excited and grateful that my beloved is on the way to me. It's just a reminder to yourself, as opposed to having magical qualities.
Another part, and the book talks about, I think it's so important, where we can do all the spiritual work, or we can do the feng shui, and we can do visualizations, or we can build a treasure map. But ultimately, you know, you've got to be in it to win it. So you've got to take action. You got to step out there, and people feel like, if I just put the energy out there, it's all going to come to me. Yes, allowing and receiving and being open is important, but you've got to put yourself on the line. It used to be, it's pretty easy for guys now. It used to be, you know, you have to meet somebody at a bar or whatever after work. Hi, my name is Luke. Can I buy you a drink? Now it's like you're sitting behind your keyboard in your tidy whities and you can flirt with all these very attractive, very capable, very smart, successful women. And it's kind of, in my opinion, made guys a little bit lazy. Talk to us about that. What do men need to do to step up these days?
Well, the truth is, we women have been conditioned by rom-coms. You know, like we may have run our own business and have advanced degrees and make plenty of money, and we still want to be romanced. And which means you guys have to make an effort. You know, we make decisions all day long. The last thing we want is some guy who says to me, well, where do you want to go to dinner? That is like the worst question to ask a busy woman. What you want to say is, you know, I heard you mention that you really like XYZ restaurant and that you also like that. I'd like to make reservations. Which restaurant would you prefer? That's a yes or no kind of thing we can deal with. You know, we if you say, okay, well, let's get together on Sunday, well, you know, follow up with, let's get, why don't we meet for brunch at 11 on Sunday? I'll text you the restaurant. You know, so be responsible, you know, make executive decisions. Show us that you're interested and that you do what you say you're going to do and make it interesting for us, you know, because just like you can swipe through 1,000 people, so can we, you know. Exactly. So the one who's going to stand out is the one who has enthusiasm. You know, so if you're if you have a few texts going back and forth with somebody, stop that. Stop texting and just say, hey, why don't we meet on FaceTime for 15 minutes and see where it goes? You know, why don't we get up on a Zoom for 15 minutes and see where it goes? But don't waste anybody's time texting, you know, and don't whatever, ladies, whatever you do, never, ever leave your house unless you've had at least one video date. Do not go meet a stranger, even if it's in a public place, because you could get there and find out all the pictures were a lie. Nothing's what it looks like. And now you're going to try and be a nice girl and you're going to sit in a Starbucks for 45 minutes wishing you had never come. So you do not leave your house without a video connection.
I think that's the first time I've heard that advice, and I've interviewed a lot of relationship experts, and I think it's brilliant. Because too often people jump, they dive into the deep end of the pool and are very disappointed quickly. And this would save a lot of time on both people's parts. So great advice, Ariel. You also mentioned a concept called savor the waiting. In that time when we want love to happen, we want to meet our soulmate. We want to make that connection. And we get anxious. And sometimes we get negative. And then the negative self-talk starts to hold us back a little bit. What can people do to really enhance and enjoy and embrace the time when you're leading up to meeting your soulmate?
Yeah. So savoring the waiting is about knowing and trusting that what you asked for is already yours. Nothing's missing. Now, you know, this person's on the way to you. You're on the way to them. You know, feel the anticipation, feel the excitement, prepare for it, you know, do the feng shui, make sure there's space in the closet for them and an empty drawer in the dresser and get some new sheets and do all those kinds of really fun things. And then just enjoy the process, knowing and trusting that they're coming to you.
What would be a good, let's say you go out on a couple of dates, it feels good. Maybe the intimacy is there, the physical attraction is there, but you're just not quite sure the person is a soulmate. And I think you really want to have a soulmate. No, with you have one. I have one with my wife. We waited a while and both to get married, and it was worked out great. With people who are like measuring, saying, okay, how do I know if this is the one or not, or this is my soulmate? If there's a couple of things they can ask themselves.
Yes. And you can't do it quickly. Okay. So you want to say, okay, have you met all of their friends and family? Have they met yours?
Okay.
Can you trust them to do what they say they're going to do? Do you feel emotionally and physically safe with them? Do you have a shared vision for the future? You know, those are the questions to be asking yourself. And that takes months to get to know, you know, so you're not supposed to know immediately. This is the purpose of dating. It's like going shopping. You need a little black dress for a cocktail party and you're at Neiman Marcus or Saks Fifth Avenue. You may try on 7 to 15 dresses. You know, so you really want to have 7 to 15 dates with this person. You know, if the end of the day, it just feels like they're in the friend zone and there's nice, but it doesn't, you know, the conversation doesn't always flow and maybe, you know, they're unsteady or unstable in some area, or you discover that, you know, they maybe drink a little too much and, you know, you don't want to contend with that.
Right.
That's the purpose of it. Which means you don't have to be dating exclusively. The purpose of dating is dating. You know, get to know different people, but give them all a chance. My friend Carol Allen, who's a great love expert, always says when you're for women, if you're out on a date with a guy first time and he doesn't completely gross you out, give him a second chance.
I love it. That's a pretty low bar.
Yes, but you know, guys get nervous and you don't always know. And you know, you're judging them. Like I had this one friend who she actually met her husband on Tinder, and it was just, she didn't want to meet him. It was her friend who saw him on Tinder and said, I'm telling you, this is the guy for you. You must meet him. They actually met for breakfast, and he showed up and he was kind of shaky because he had just done this big triathlon workout. Mm-hmm. And he was shorter and skinnier than she would have liked. And even though they had a lot in common, she just took one look at him and said, what was my friend thinking? But he saw something in her and said, listen, I'm only in town till tomorrow. Let's just have dinner tonight. I promise you, I'm not going to be shaky after I've, you know, had my protein shake and I've done my, anyway, they met that night. By the end of dinner, they were planning their wedding.
Wow. Wow.
And they've now been happily married for 10 years. By the end of dinner. You know, so you can't just like go, oh no, that's not it. You know, she's too tall, too fat, too old, too this, too that. You don't know. You got to get to know their heart and soul.
Now, you also mentioned about being physically ready for a relationship and for your soulmate. What does that mean?
Well, that means getting your home ready more than anything. You know, it's, mm-hmm. it's really about looking around saying, you know, energetically, you know, have I gotten rid of the clutter? Did I get rid of all the old photos of the ex and you know, all the knickknacks from the trips we took? You don't want somebody walking into your house going, oh, it looks like you're in the Maldives. And you're like saying, oh, yes, 15 years ago, that's where we went on our honeymoon. And now you're talking about the past. So you want to get yourself ready physically, emotionally, spiritually, and your home.
You know, you mentioned earlier about some of your perspectives have changed over the last 5 years or so. And that's when we were talking about the man needs to step up and we have to take action and come up with an idea for a date instead of letting the woman do something. What seems to happen nowadays is a lot of times the women, they're in very successful jobs. They got a fast paced career and the guy, they can roll right over the guy. What do women need to know about kind of flipping the switch from the alpha business aspect to being the, I don't want to say traditional feminine, but more just like not just rolling over the guy and being alpha in the relationship? Because a lot of times guys will back off and say, you know, I don't even, if I suggest something, she has a better idea. And it's like, let her just choose from now on.
Well, you know, I still believe there's a male-female polarity that exists in relationships. So they have to decide which energy they want to be. If they want to be the masculine energy, fine. There are plenty of beta guys out there mm-hmm. that don't want to make those decisions and they're happy to follow, right? But if you want to be the feminine energy, then, you know, at the end of the day, when you get home from work, you know, take an aromatherapy bath, practice your belly dancing, you know, change your clothes. And remember that it's very easy to feed a man's ego. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. Like John mm-hmm. Gray and I have had lots right. of conversations about this. Mm-hmm. You know, there are words that men really enjoy. Like you can never tell a man too often how brilliant they are or what a great right. idea that is. Or aren't you funny? God, you just crack me up.
That's important.
It's really important. Men want to hear that and they want to mm-hmm. hear it all the time, you know, and you don't want to be your resume. You don't want to come in telling him about the deal you just closed or the amazing thing you just did. Not that it's unimportant, but you don't want to be one-upping them. And so many women show up as their resume. I did an experiment one day. I was talking to this friend of mine who was in her mid-50s and divorced and having a hard time with relationships. And she told me she was on her way to a party where there were going to be a lot of single men, many of them professionals. And I said, great. I said, okay, Louisa, when he asks you, what do you do? What is your response? And she gave me the elevator pitch on her business. filled with jargon, none of which I even understood. And I said, no guy could get it up for that ever.
That's hilarious.
I said, what are you doing in your spare time? What's something you're passionate about, unrelated to work? And this was just after the pandemic. And she said, oh, I've been really perfecting my sourdough recipe, and I am now the best bread baker in the world. And when you walk into my house, the first thing you smell is my beautiful bread.
Love it.
I said, that is a sexy answer.
That is a real, and guys like that, believe me, my wife started making sourdough and I love it. And it's good for you and it's fun and it's just a great sharing thing. So what happens then? And then we'll move on. I want to talk about the love thief. But when you're in a relationship, from the relationship experts I've interviewed who are female, to a person, they've said they want guys to be guys in the real sense of the word, not conceited, not narcissistic, not arrogant, but comfortable in their own skin, take the lead when it's appropriate, come up with ideas, be proactive, pay attention, etc. And you had mentioned, you know, sometimes the woman will be the alpha and there's a lot of beta guys now. Do women want beta guys?
I don't know that they know. If they want to be happy and they're stuck in alpha, or they choose to remain in alpha, and they need to understand somebody's got to nurture the relationship. You know, in the past, it was the woman who nurtured the relationship. Mm-hmm. But now these alpha women need to be taken care of. They need to be nurtured. You want somebody who's going to say, here, sit down on the couch. Let me rub your feet. Let me, you know, and who knows what he does, you know, but, you know, tell me how it's going. You know, what can we do this weekend to have fun? You know, so when I say beta, I'm not talking about wimpy in any way. They're just loving and giving and nurturing in a way that these alpha women aren't always and don't know how to be.
Love it. The name of the book that we've been talking about is The Soulmate Secret: Manifest the Love of Your Life with the Law of Attraction, Ariel Ford. Now, you're a novelist now, The Love Thief. You wrote about kind of a cautionary tale, if you will. I'm in the middle of it now, enjoying it. Great job. Tell us about The Love Thief, why you inspired to go the fiction route. I know you've worked in the publishing business for a long time and you're very successful there. What made you dive into fiction and what inspired you to write this particular story?
Well, writing a novel was never on my to-do list ever. I never even once had the thought I should write a novel. But this story came to me and wouldn't let me go. It just, like, I became possessed with the story, and it unfolded in my mind like a movie, and I had no choice. It was inside of me kicking and screaming to get out. And what it is, it's a romantic spiritual thriller with a very juicy revenge subplot and a surprise happy ending. And it's a collection of a woman who gets involved with a sociopath, a toxic narcissist, who looks like her dream guy, and then basically ruins her life, and what she has to do to recover from this betrayal. And she ends up going to India, thinking she was only going to attend a cooking school. And instead, she ends up in Rishikesh, which is the holiest city in India, and ends up meeting some gurus and sadhus and starts to have mystical experiences, and meets a retired professor of counseling psychology from the University of Michigan who went back to his hometown in India. And he now owns a spiritual bookstore, and he becomes her love walla, her mentor, her counselor, her new best friend. And so the story takes you through from the depths of hell to the happiest love story you've ever read.
And how did you feel after you finished writing a novel, since you'd written so much nonfiction? What was the experience like for you? Because it's very different.
Well, it took 5.5 years of research and writing. And normally when I write nonfiction, it takes me 6 months. So this was my 12th book. So I had no idea. If I had known in advance what I didn't know about writing fiction, I would have never started, because they're two different things. It's just like, the similarities between fiction and nonfiction, there's only one similarity, and they both use words. Other than that, they're totally different. So I was thrilled when it was done. And I thought it was done many times, and then it had many rewrites. And the thing I'm happiest about is the response that I'm getting from readers. You know, they love it. They're having healing experiences. They're understanding that they're not victims, that they were prey, that these kinds of men target women like them.
It's true.
And how to get over it. So it's been an amazing experience. I just got an email yesterday. I have a very big time film producer who fell in love with the book, and she is now working on getting it turned into a streaming series. And she just identified the writer for it yesterday. So that's exciting. And then I'm also working on an audio book that's going to be full cast. So every character in the book will have his or her own voice. And we have an original soundtrack and sound effects. So I'm in the process of bringing that to fruition. So it's been really fun and really exciting, and not at all what I expected. Like I said, I didn't plan this. It chose me.
A perfect platform. First of all, great story, great storytelling, great writing, and a great hook in the book. And also, it makes you want to keep turning the pages, and you can't ask for more than that from a reader. And it's got great wisdom. Everything you do, Ariel, you're helping people in a spiritual sense and also with practical tools. And I love that combination, because sometimes we can go off the deep end with the spiritual stuff, and we're still in a 3D world. No matter what everybody's telling us, we've got to do stuff. We got to get up and make it happen and make the coffee or whatever, or buy the coffee, but we still have to go out there.
Right. And, or the chai.
The chai, of course. But thank you for everything you're doing and your wisdom. I've interviewed so many different relationship experts, and you have the whole package there, because you are practical, you're spiritual, and you come from a place of love. So thank you for coming on Guys Radio. It's been my honor and thrill, and I hope we can do it again at some point.
Thank you.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
It's Guys Guy Radio.
Okay, what a terrific conversation with one of the world's foremost experts on love and relationships and dating, Ariel Ford, the best-selling author of the book, The Soulmate Secret, Manifest the Love of Your Life with the Law of Attraction, and so much more. Got a bunch of books, I think 11 books, and her newest is this novel we just discussed, The Love Thief, which sounds like it could get could become a TV series. So that's a streaming series. That's fantastic news. So Ariel is really, she's amazing. She's got charisma, she's creative, she's intelligent, and I think her advice is something that you need to heed, because it makes a lot of common sense about kind of how to live in the day-to-day world and also put yourself out there from a position of love and spirituality to really attract the one who could become your soulmate. I really enjoyed the conversation with her and have so much respect for Ariel, and hopefully she'll come back at some point to the show. I want to thank those 700 guests so far that I've interviewed for Guys Radio. I want to thank my wonderful producer, Chris. I want to thank my strategy lead, Ryan. And most of all, I want to thank you, the growing audience, subscribers, people who are going to subscribe, people who love to listen and watch the show and read my blog, etc. I love you. Thank you so much. I'm going to see you next week. Until then, like I always like to say, guys, finish first.